Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at a topic that I think hits pretty close to home for a lot of us. It's the impact of anxiety disorders on relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's safe to say that we all have some personal connection to this, whether we deal with anxiety ourselves or are close to someone who does.
For sure.
So to help us unpack this complex topic, we'll be looking at an insightful article called How Anxiety Disorder Affects Relationships. Understanding the impact.
Okay.
And our mission today is to really distill some key takeaways about the challenges that anxiety can pose in relationships,
right.
But also to try and uncover some practical strategies for navigating those challenges.
Sounds good.
So let's dive in.
Right.
One of the things that really struck me about this article was its emphasis on what it calls the ripple effect.
Yeah.
It really drives home the point that anxiety doesn't just stay confined to the individual who's experiencing it.
Uh-huh.
The effects can actually extend outward, impacting those closest to them in often subtle and unexpected ways.
That's a great point.
Mm.
You know, what strikes me about this article is how it highlights that those ripples, those effects, can often manifest in ways that are difficult to pinpoint.
Right.
Like the article uses this analogy of needles in a haystack.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Can you unpack that a bit? What are some specific examples of these so-called needles?
Absolutely. So think about those moments of seemingly irrational worry, like concerns about fidelity that arise even when there's no real basis for them.
Right.
Or the tendency to overanalyze every interaction, searching for hidden meanings that might not even be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the needles, small but sharp anxieties that can poke through and create tension in the relationship.
So basically what you're saying is that instead of attributing these behaviors to just personality quirks,
right,
or intentional actions, we should consider the possibility that they might be stemming from underlying anxiety.
Exactly. And that's a crucial point for both the person experiencing the anxiety and their partner.
Absolutely. Understanding the root cause of these behaviors is crucial for both sides.
Yeah.
For navigating the relationship effectively.
Mm.
You know, if you're constantly on edge, worried about things that your partner might not even be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It can create this really unhealthy dynamic where one person feels trapped.
Yeah.
And the other is struggling with this constant worry.
It's like this imbalance, this tension that just permeates the relationship.
Exactly. And that brings us to another point that the article makes about the relationship dynamic itself.
Mm-hmm.
It describes it as kind of an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. It highlights how this dynamic can often lead to emotional dependency.
Okay.
And even controlling behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a seesaw that's constantly in motion, but without a partner to balance it out.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, it's really. It creates an environment of instability and uncertainty and leaves both partners feeling off kilter.
And that feeling of instability can often lead to a breakdown in communication, right?
Exactly.
The article talks about social withdrawal as a coping mechanism for anxiety. But what are the implications of that for the relationship?
Well, when anxiety leads to social withdrawal, it can create this wall of silence that can be incredibly isolating for the other partner.
That makes sense.
Imagine trying to have a meaningful conversation, but it feels like you're talking to a brick wall.
Ouch, yeah.
It's like the anxiety is creating this barrier,
right,
making it almost impossible to connect on an emotional level.
So it's this double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
The person with anxiety is trying to cope, but their method of coping is actually pushing their partner away.
Exactly.
And the partner is left feeling confused and hurt.
Right.
Not understanding why they're being shut out.
It's a lose-lose situation.
And it can create this vicious cycle where the more one person withdraws, the more the other person feels rejected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that just exacerbates the existing communication problems.
Which brings us to another key point that the article makes. Even simple conversations can become minefields when anxiety is driving the communication.
Yeah, for sure.
It compares it to trying to hear whispers in a noisy room.
I love that analogy.
Me too. It really captures the feeling of being on different wavelengths.
Right.
Struggling to understand each other when anxiety is clouding the communication.
It's not just about the words themselves.
Right.
But about the underlying anxieties that are shaping the way those words are being perceived.
Ah. Okay, so we've painted a pretty challenging picture so far.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the article doesn't leave us there.
Definitely not.
It goes on to talk about ways to kind of turn the tide and start moving towards healthier, more fulfilling relationships.
I'm looking forward to digging into that.
Me too. But before we jump into those solutions, I want to dig a little deeper into one more aspect of anxiety that can really impact relationships, and that's the chronic stress piece.
Okay.
The article mentions carrying a boulder.
Yeah.
Which seems like a pretty heavy analogy.
It is.
What does that mean for couples who are dealing with anxiety in their relationship?
It means that chronic stress isn't just a fleeting feeling. It's this constant weight that can really wear down even the strongest relationships.
I see.
Imagine carrying a boulder everywhere you go.
Oof. Yeah.
It affects your movements, your posture, your overall well-being.
You'd be exhausted.
Exactly. And similarly, chronic stress stemming from anxiety can distort perceptions.
Wow.
Lead to emotional and physical detachment and create this constant undercurrent of tension.
So even when things are seemingly calm on the surface,
right,
there's this underlying current of stress that's impacting the relationship.
Exactly.
How does that tie into the concept of relationship uncertainty and intimacy struggles that the article talks about?
This is where we see the real toll that chronic stress can take on a relationship.
Okay.
When one or both partners are constantly on edge,
uh-huh,
it creates this atmosphere of unpredictability.
That makes sense.
And intimacy requires vulnerability and trust.
Right.
But when anxiety is running high, it can be really difficult to feel safe enough to let your guard down.
Wow.
The article uses this example of trying to dance with someone who keeps changing the rhythm.
Oh, I like that.
You never quite find your footing.
Right.
And the dance becomes more of a struggle than a source of joy.
So the anxiety is actually disrupting the ability to connect on a deeper level.
Exactly.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And it leads us perfectly into the next part of our discussion,
where we'll explore those solutions and strategies that the article offers.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. So we've spent a good chunk of time exploring kind of the darker side of how anxiety can show up in relationships.
Yeah, the nitty-gritty.
But now I want to shift gears a little bit and dive into the more hopeful and empowering part of the article.
Okay. Yeah.
The strategies for what it calls turning the tide.
I think that's a great section.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
So what struck you as particularly useful in this section?
Well, I think the emphasis on communication as the foundation for navigating these challenges really stood out to me.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just about talking more, you know.
Right.
It's about communicating more effectively.
Yeah.
Which requires a level of self-awareness and empathy that can be really hard to achieve when anxiety is already kind of running high.
So can you maybe elaborate on what effective communication actually looks like in the context of anxiety and relationships?
Sure. I think it starts with recognizing those needles in the haystack that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Those subtle ways that anxiety might be seeping into your interactions.
Okay.
And once you've identified those patterns, you can start communicating them to your partner in a way that invites understanding,
mm-hmm,
rather than defensiveness.
So instead of blaming your partner for something that they may not even be aware of,
right,
you're basically taking ownership of your anxiety and how it's impacting your behavior.
Exactly.
Which is huge, but also sounds incredibly difficult.
Yes.
What advice does the article give for how to actually have those conversations?
Well, the key is to approach these conversations with the spirit of collaboration rather than confrontation.
That makes sense.
It's about saying, hey, I'm noticing that when I feel anxious, I tend to do this. I'm working on managing my anxiety. But in the meantime, would you be willing to help me by maybe doing this?
So it's not about placing blame.
Right.
It's about inviting your partner to be part of the solution.
Exactly.
And the article also stresses the importance of active listening, right?
Definitely.
It's not just about hearing the words, but truly trying to understand the emotions behind them.
I think active listening is especially essential when it comes to anxiety.
Mm.
It's about creating a safe space for your partner to express their feelings without judgment
Okay.
or interruption.
Yeah.
It's about really trying to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
And understand their perspective, even if you don't fully relate to their experience.
So it's about validating their feelings, even if you don't necessarily agree with them.
Right.
But what about those times when communication feels impossible?
Yeah, that happens.
You know, the article compares anxiety to a pesky mosquito.
Uh-huh.
Annoying, but manageable with the right strategies.
I like that analogy.
So what are some of those strategies for managing that pesky mosquito?
Well, one strategy is to focus on setting clear boundaries.
Okay.
And expressing your needs in a calm and assertive way.
So, for example, if you know that social situations tend to trigger your anxiety.
Right.
You communicate that to your partner ahead of time.
Yeah.
And discuss ways to make those situations more manageable.
Exactly.
So instead of just withdrawing completely,
mm-hmm,
you're working together to find a compromise.
That respects both of your needs.
That seems so much healthier than just bottling things up and hoping for the best.
It is.
The article also talks a lot about seeking professional help.
Yes.
So how does therapy fit into all of this?
Therapy can be incredibly valuable for both individuals and couples who are dealing with anxiety.
Okay.
It provides a safe and neutral space to explore those underlying causes of anxiety.
Right.
To develop coping mechanisms and to learn more effective communication skills.
So it's not just about talking about your problems.
Well,
it's about actually learning tools and techniques to manage them.
Exactly. And the article specifically mentions cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, as a potentially transformative approach.
I've heard a lot about CBT, but I'm not sure I totally understand it. Can you kind of break down how it works in practice?
Sure. So CBT basically focuses on the connection between our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors.
Okay.
And it helps you identify those negative thought patterns that are fueling the anxiety and then develop strategies for challenging and changing them.
So instead of letting those anxious thoughts just spiral out of control,
right,
you're learning how to interrupt them and reframe them in a more positive light.
Exactly. And that's a really powerful tool.
It is.
And I think something that can benefit not just the individual with anxiety, but the relationship as a whole.
Yeah. Because if one person is less anxious, the whole dynamic of the relationship can shift.
Absolutely. When both partners are equipped with the tools to manage anxiety and communicate effectively, it creates this more stable and supportive foundation for the relationship.
But therapy isn't just about fixing problems, right?
Not at all.
The article also talks about using it as a tool for personal growth and transformation.
I love that.
So can you kind of expand on that idea a little bit?
Sure. I think therapy can be this really profound journey of self-discovery.
Yeah.
You know, it can help you understand yourself better, identify your strengths and weaknesses, and learn how to navigate life's challenges with more resilience.
So it's not just about surviving the storm.
Right.
It's about learning how to dance in the rain.
I love that metaphor.
So what are some other ways that couples can work together to create a more supportive and resilient relationship in the face of anxiety?
Well, one important aspect is finding healthy coping mechanisms that you can practice together.
Like what?
This might involve things like mindfulness exercises, meditation, spending time in nature, or engaging in activities that bring you both joy and relaxation.
So it's about creating those shared positive experiences that can kind of counterbalance the negative impacts of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the article mentions the importance of maintaining a sense of humor.
Yes.
Because let's face it, sometimes you just have to laugh at the absurdity of it all.
Absolutely. Laughter is such a powerful antidote to stress.
It is.
Being able to find humor in difficult situations without minimizing the seriousness of anxiety, it can help lighten the mood and create a sense of connection.
I'm a big believer in that.
It's about remembering that even in the midst of challenges, there's still room for joy and lightheartedness.
That's beautiful. But what about those times when one partner is struggling more than the other?
Yeah, that's tough.
How can couples kind of navigate those imbalances without resentment or guilt creeping in?
It's a tricky situation for sure.
The article emphasizes that managing anxiety in a relationship is a team effort.
Right.
So can you elaborate on what that actually looks like in practice?
Well, when one partner is experiencing heightened anxiety, it's really crucial for the other partner to provide support and understanding.
Mm.
This might involve offering a listening ear, helping with practical tasks, or simply being present and validating their partner's feelings.
So it's about being there for them without trying to fix them.
Exactly.
Which can be hard.
It can.
It's important to remember that you're on the same team.
Yes.
Working together to navigate these challenges.
It's not about taking on their anxiety as your own.
Right. It's about being a source of support and encouragement as they work through their own process.
And recognizing that everyone copes differently.
But what about the importance of maintaining individual identities within the relationship?
Yeah, that's a crucial too.
How do you balance the we with the me when anxiety is a factor?
That's a great question. And it brings us to another key takeaway from the article. The importance of self-care and maintaining a sense of individuality within the relationship.
Yeah, because it's easy to lose yourself when you're so focused on the other person and their needs.
It is.
Especially when anxiety can be so all-consuming. So how do you actually carve out space for yourself when it feels like you're constantly battling those anxious thoughts and feelings?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
You know, the article uses this great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It compares anxiety to like a nosy neighbor who's always trying to butt in and control your life.
I can see that.
The key is to establish boundaries.
Right.
not let anxiety dictate every decision you make.
Easier said than done, though, right?
It is.
So what does that look like in practice? What does self-care actually look like when you're dealing with anxiety in a relationship?
Well, it's about prioritizing the activities that bring you joy and a sense of fulfillment.
Okay.
Whether it's spending time in nature, pursuing a hobby,
right,
connecting with friends, or even just taking a few minutes each day to unwind and de-stress.
So it sounds like it's about reclaiming those parts of yourself that might have gotten lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
Of managing the relationship and dealing with the anxiety. But wouldn't that actually make the anxiety worse?
That's a common misconception, actually.
It is.
The truth is, when you neglect your own needs, it actually undermines your ability to show up for your partner in a healthy way.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
Think of it like the oxygen mask analogy on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put your own mask on first
before
you can assist anyone else.
That's such a good analogy.
It is, right.
And it highlights that it's not selfish to take care of yourself.
Right.
It's actually essential.
Exactly. You can't pour from an empty cup.
And that leads us back to the idea of seeking professional help. The article describes seeking therapy as like a leap towards understanding yourself better.
It is.
Can you unpack that a bit? Why is therapy so important in this context?
Well, the article makes this compelling argument for viewing therapy not just as a means to an end, but as a journey of self-discovery and personal growth.
So it's not just about fixing the anxiety,
right,
but about using it as an opportunity to learn and grow as an individual.
Exactly. And that personal growth can have this ripple effect, positively impacting your relationships and overall well-being.
That makes sense.
You know, the article compares trying to manage anxiety alone to like solving a puzzle with missing pieces.
Ooh, I like that.
A therapist can help provide those missing pieces, the tools and strategies that can help you make sense of your experience and create a more fulfilling life.
So therapy can be like a roadmap, helping you navigate the complex terrain of anxiety and relationships.
Right, that's a great way to put it.
But what about the stigma that still surrounds mental health?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's still a big barrier for a lot of people.
It is. What advice would you give to someone who's hesitant to seek professional help?
Well, I think it's important to remember that seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness.
That's so true.
It takes a lot of courage to acknowledge that you need support.
It does.
And to reach out for guidance. And the truth is, you don't have to go through this alone.
Right.
There are trained professionals who are dedicated to helping you navigate these challenges and find a path towards healing and well-being.
That's a really powerful message. You know, it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in seeking the support that you need to thrive.
Not at all.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah,
what are some of the key takeaways that you want our listeners to walk away with today?
I think first and foremost, anxiety's impact on relationships is multifaceted, but it's not a life sentence.
That's important to remember.
With understanding communication and the right support, it's possible to navigate these challenges and build stronger, healthier connections.
And that support can come from various sources, right?
Absolutely. It can come from your partner,
yeah,
your friends and family, and of course, mental health professionals.
Exactly. Remember, you're not alone in this journey.
You're not.
There are people who care about you and want to see you succeed. Before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with a thought-provoking question that the article poses.
Okay.
What's one small step that you can take today? For yourself or your relationship,
right,
to begin that journey toward understanding and healing.
It might be as simple as starting a conversation with your partner, scheduling a therapy appointment, or carving out 15 minutes for a relaxing activity.
Those are all great ideas.
Remember, even small steps can lead to significant changes over time.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into anxiety and relationships.
It was my pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and empowering. Until next time, take care.